Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. This episode is all about our network of executive women. Of course, this is one of our student organizations in the Executive MBA program, and we recently connected with current president Caroline Clark, as well as past new presidents Christine Campbell and Amanda Richardson, to talk more about the organization as well as their MBA journeys. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Caroline Clark, Amanda Richardson, and Christine Campbell. Caroline, Amanda, Christine, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Well, we were joking before we got started. I want our listeners to be aware that they are listening to a truly historic podcast episode here in the life of the Exec MBA podcast. We may be 130 plus episodes in, but this breaks a new record. We've never had three guests simultaneously on this podcast. Congratulations. You woke up this morning. Did you know you were going to be a part of history, Caroline?
I had no idea, but it's very appropriate that fellow new leaders are breaking records and setting new records, pun intended.
Absolutely. And so thank you again for taking the time out to be here. This is a conversation about NEW, our network of executive women. I thought it would be fun to have current leadership, you, Caroline, as well as past leaders on to talk about the organization, what it is, how it supports women in the program, and maybe how it's evolved over its lifetime. I think it's one of our oldest, if not the oldest, student organization. Christine, am I right? When did you found NEW?
Oh, we founded it in 2017.
Okay. So it goes back a ways.
Yeah.
Well, Christine, since I called on you for that cold call here on the Exec MBA podcast, maybe we'll stick with you and tell us a little bit more about who you are, what you do currently, and maybe, you know, how you decided to pursue an MBA.
Sure, I'm happy to. And thank you again for having me today. It was so nice hearing from Caroline and maintaining that connection with the new. So I'm Christine Campbell, and I graduated from the Executive MBA program at Darden in 2018. And before I went to Darden, I was working for the Department of Defense and managing a branch of analysts that were responsible for assessing foreign military threats. And across my entire career, the component of my job or jobs that I always loved the most was not only leading, but developing leaders and helping others in their leadership development, their performance development, and in their career planning. And I always, especially in the last several years, desired to shape a career in which those things were the focus of my job and not just a component of my job. And in 2014, I was selected for the National Intelligence University's Leadership and Management Program. And every year they select one person from each intelligence community agency. And I was very fortunate to be the selectee that year. And the program, which was held over the course of a year, focused on organizational leadership. And I absolutely loved it. And it really solidified my desire to kind of make that career come true. And so it led me to look at MBA programs. And living in Charlottesville, Virginia, naturally, Darden was at the top of my list. And I was especially compelled by two things when I was looking at Darden. One was Darden's mission to build leaders of leaders. And two, because I'm drawn to public service, I was very inspired by Carolyn Miles' work with Save the Children. And so those two things kind of inspired me to go forward with applying to Darden and pursue that passion. I had an absolutely wonderful, tremendous Darden experience that I'm so grateful for. And it was, as I know Caroline and Amanda will attest to as well, it was challenging, it was tough, but it was also incredibly fulfilling and enriching. And since going to Darden, I've made a pretty big career change that Darden helped me solidify. And now I'm working still for the Department of Defense, but I tied my analytic management career in a bow, and now I work in talent management. And I carry four different hats. First, I managed career broadening and training opportunities for a 2,000-person directorate. And so I'm frequently advising and promoting opportunities that our workforce can take advantage of to grow professionally. Second, I'm a certified career development officer for our agency. So I'm advising on the whole career path. Third, I am a certified instructor for our Academy for Defense Intelligence. And so I teach two courses for our workforce. One is Art of Supervision, and the other is Principles of Leadership, which I really enjoy. And then finally, and for me, I think most importantly, I've gotten certified as a leadership and performance coach through an ICF-accredited external organization. And I'm actually currently applying for my associate coaching credential through the ICF. And I actively coach clients both in Department of Defense, actually across the federal government and in the private sector on a wide variety of personal and professional topics. And I absolutely love it. And this is something I haven't really shared with anyone outside of my family yet, but I'm in the process of starting an LLC. It's called Coaching Strong. It's not public yet, but it will be something that I start on the side and eventually grow maybe into a full-time practice down the road, in which I'm coaching individuals and teams in their leadership and professional development. So I feel extremely fortunate because I've really been able to make this dream come true of shaping a career focused on the things that I most love to do. So that's where I am.
Well, Christine, if you have to break some personal or professional news, there's no better place to share that update with the world than the Exec MBA podcast. Let's be very, very clear about that. You should always tell the podcast before you tell your family. That's the way.
At least my husband knows, but maybe it will spur some future client interest in the least. So, but no, I'm very happy to share that.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the podcast today. Amanda Richardson is also here, a former Network of Executive Women president. Amanda, tell us a little bit more about your MBA journey and what you've been up to since you graduated.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny to follow Christine in her footsteps yet again. I also work for the Department of Defense and did before I started my MBA journey. I have a science background and got a master's in science and technology policy and have been working in a research and development organization as part of a defense agency for quite some time. And I love it, but I have moved more toward the business end and operational end of that research and development organization over time. And I have become known as an expert in those things, not because I was trained in them, but because I have just done them and learned while doing. And as I progressed in my career, I realized I wanted to get some more academic and real world foundation in a lot of these things that I'm putting into place and saying, this seems like the right way to do some things, but not really knowing if it is or if there are better ways. And so I started exploring the MBA curriculum in a number of places. I live in Northern Virginia, so Darden opening up a Northern Virginia campus and offering the executive MBA program in Northern Virginia was very appealing to me because it helped me with figuring out how I would balance maintaining the job that I have. I have two young boys and also wanting to do school. So figuring out how to balance all of those things was something that was important, and being able to pursue an MBA at a top school, but close to home, really made a difference for me. And then like Christine said, I always appreciated Darden's approach to wanting to grow leaders, that they weren't just focused on, hey, we're Darden, we're UVA, which is obviously a phenomenal name in academic circles, but we really want to grow people who are contributors in their world. I also liked very much that Darden felt like a community, that you weren't just coming for a transactional relationship with them. You pay us money, we train you, we give you an MBA, and you're out the door. Talking to people who'd been to Darden years before and still felt so strongly that Darden was a phenomenal place and was a major part of their journey was really great. And I remember talking to you, Brett, actually during our first leadership residency there at the beginning of the program and saying to you, I really bought into the community and it's so great to show up for our first week and really feel like we're already part of this community. And part of that was actually meeting Christine sometime soon around that first week or talking to Christine. Barbara Millar connected us because when I showed up, some of the other women in the class and I said, hey, there's a group for veterans and there's a group for entrepreneurs and there's a group for international students. Why isn't there a dedicated women's group? And I happened to ask Barbara about that. And she said, oh, I need to connect you with Christine Campbell because some of the women in the class ahead of you have been talking about this as well. And that's how I met the amazing Christine Campbell. And she became a friend and a mentor in some of this and was also someone who really got the network of executive women off the ground. And I'm so pleased that I got to be a part of that with her. And that was just a part of the phenomenal journey that was Darden. And I stay in touch with those people today, even. I have on WhatsApp both a class chat that has over 100 people from our class still on it, but also the women from our class have our separate WhatsApp chat that will go silent for a week sometimes, but then things pop up and people are always willing to help. And that's a phenomenal reminder of that community. And then on the career front since then, I actually changed jobs while I was in Darden. So that research and development organization that I work with, we run a budget of about $1 billion a year in research and development. And I was hired as our chief of research and development operations. So I am the chief of staff. I run our operations department and a lot of our supporting functions of how we get our work done, which really speaks to me because one of my big drivers in all of my work is helping make other people successful. And I feel like Darden really helped me identify some key ways that I can be a difference maker for people that might be more unique to me, but also gave me a lot of tools to use to help other people be successful. And I find that very fulfilling about my job. And so I'm still in that role right now. And certainly in our current COVID environment, being able to find different ways to help people still be successful in a dynamic environment like this has been critical. And I've been able to leverage some tools and also talk to other friends from Darden about, hey, how are you handling this and get ideas and best practices? So that community continues to be a resource today.
That's great. I did not realize $1 billion is quite a bit of money. What does your day-to-day look like? I mean, I'm sure no 2 days are the same, but it sounds like you've got quite a bit on your plate.
It's a lot of different stuff that comprises my day. Yesterday, I spent a lot of time working on a major organizational change that we're making right now and working with the people that are moving and helping them figure out exactly how things are going and both doing the documentation side of it to make it all official, but then also talking with the people to make sure they understand and also talking with the leadership to make sure that they're preparing all those people for success. I've also been working on a variety of things related to preparing our agency for the coming budget season because we've got the budget on Capitol Hill for consideration for the next fiscal year. We're starting to plan for a couple fiscal years in the future and trying to get prepared for all of that. But then there's also a lot of catch as catch can with helping the people with how can I do this certain task better? And I don't have all the answers by any stretch of the imagination, but I have connections or I have ideas of where they can go to find out more. And I really enjoy helping people do their jobs better.
Well, thank you, Amanda, for being here on the podcast. And that leaves one more panelist or podcast guest for today, Caroline Clark. Caroline, thank you for taking time out of your day to be here on the podcast. Tell us a little bit more about your MBA journey, how you ended up at Darden, and what you've been up to since you matriculated.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, Brett. And it's just such a pleasure to be here with everyone today. I've heard so much about Christine and Amanda, and so to have the chance to meet over Zoom to have this podcast is great. My career really started in, I thought I wanted to be a teacher. And I graduated school thinking that's what I'm going to do. I taught English in Japan for a year and quickly realized that was not going to be my career longer term. And but what I did realize is that I enjoyed working with people and wanted to continue on that path. And so fast forward a few years, my career went into the direction of recruitment, talent acquisition. I've worked in schools. I've worked in government IT consulting. And then most recently, my role at the American Bankers Association, where I lead the talent function for the organization. And I think in the middle of some of those different transitions, I realized that the part that I most enjoyed about my role was working with business partners and solving problems through human solutions. So whether that was promotion paths or new roles opening up, development in some way or another, I really enjoyed those conversations and working with business partners on them. And realizing that that was something I was interested in, I started thinking about, you know, how my career could evolve to eventually being more on the business side of things, and knew that I needed to gain new skills to do that. Enter Darden, or I guess an MBA to start. So thinking through what kind of MBA program I was looking for, did my research for a year or two. I was pretty thorough in what I was looking for. And as soon as I went to a class visit at Darden, I knew that was where I needed to be. And mostly because of the case method, which I'm sure people listening to this podcast have heard a lot about. But for me, I think the major strength of the case method is it is the most realistic and similar format to a business meeting. I mean, it's rare that you go into business meetings now and you're just presented at. People want to hear from you. They want to know your ideas, what you think, your feedback. And I found that to be a true reflection of what the case method was, and just, you know, how I could kind of use that skill set in the business world. So, applied to Darden in the first round. I was an early bird, an eager early bird, as Brett can probably remember. And I was very excited to get into the program and get started. I'm now in Q7, so quarter 7 of 10 in the program, which I can't believe, and really enjoying my time, where a lot of my classmates were on full-blown search mode as far as job transitions, or maybe they're climbing in their current roles. So we're balancing school and that search a little bit more heavily than maybe earlier in the program. But I've really enjoyed my time with Darden. I'm really glad that this is where I'm getting my MBA. And I'm the first class, I'm part of the first class 2021, where all of EMBA students are in Roslyn, as opposed to split between Charlottesville and the Roslyn location. So I have 150 or ish classmates in the Roslyn location that, you know, we're in classes every day now, it feels like, but at least a couple times a week. And that's been great. So I should fast forward. Maybe I should talk a little bit about New and some of what we're up to fill in Christine and Amanda. New is a very active organization. We just got our new leadership in April. And so myself and five other ladies lead the organization. And we really have three focus areas as far as what we're looking to do this year. First is, you know, and they're all tied, I should say, they're all tied back to our mission, which is developing women to reach their full potential. And we do that in three ways, really. Programming and events. We actually have a speaker tomorrow night, a Darden alum who's a CEO of a leading radio media station out of New York. She'll be joining us. And then we also have events later this fall in negotiations, specifically for women. So we'll be attending that in November. And then next month, we're partnering with a few student organizations on an allyship event. So those are just a few programming details that are initiatives really that we're planning for the next couple months. We're taking our partnership very seriously with other student organizations. So the Black EMBA student organization, as well as Pride, and we now have a diversity and inclusion student organization. We meet regularly and are actually developing a leadership oath that is in the works. This is probably one of the first groups that I'm sharing that with outside of the group that's working on it. I know, more new news. And the last initiative that I'll mention, or kind of bucket of focus for us this year, is partnering more with GWIB, the Graduate Women in Business, kind of the residential version of NU, so that we're taking advantage of synergies that exist and not reinventing the wheel, you know, as we put programming out there. So we're trying to be more inclusive with that as well, just to bring everyone up to speed on what we're up to.
Yeah, some of our listeners may be surprised, although if they're dedicated podcast listeners, probably not totally surprised, but we have a number of extracurricular organizations, student organizations in the executive MBA program. It's been one of the nice things about this program growing a bit in size, having a few more students. All of a sudden, you have a critical mass and people say, hey, why is there not a women's organization or a veterans organization or an African-American student organization? So I think we're approaching double digits now, closing in on it. And Caroline, you noted there's many other ways to serve the class. So you could be a career rep, section rep, social rep, a diversity and inclusion representative. So many ways to get involved. And to the earlier point that was made about this not being a transactional experience, that is 100% true. And you only need to look at how many student organizations we have and how many ways for students to be involved and serve their classmates to see that. So Christine, I imagine Caroline runs through all of the things that NU is doing currently. How does that align with sort of the conception of NU as you and your classmates were thinking about founding the organization? What was the goal for you as you were getting started?
Yeah. First, I just want to say, with the leadership of Amanda and Caroline and others, it's surpassed what we hoped for at this point. And it's just so touching and so warms my heart to hear about all of this progress and these great things that the NU is doing. When I was a student at Darden, my classmates and I all kind of recognized that there wasn't an organization specifically serving the needs of Darden's executive women students. We participated in the GWIB, but we felt that we needed something serving the unique needs and stages of life of women in the executive program. And in 2017, when my classmates and I and Amanda was involved as well, worked to stand up the NU, our aim was really to set the foundation, to like establish what's the governance structure, what are our aims and priorities, to write the charter, and then to start getting the word out both to prospective students and to alumni that we existed and that we wanted to help serve the professional development and networking needs of Darden's executive women. And I just am so thrilled to see where it has gone and how it has grown since then. And it's absolutely meeting and surpassing the desires that we had back in 2017. So thank you, Amanda and Caroline, and you know, your classmates as well, for all of the work that you've done to progress it forward.
I just want to say though, Christine's leadership and the leadership group from her class, all of those women were phenomenal in laying that foundation that Christine talked about though. The wonderful thing about Darden is if you say, how come there isn't an organization that does X, the school leadership will say, well, you can create one. But the downside of that is you have to create one. It's not an insignificant amount of work to create an official organization within the University of Virginia construct. This is a big bureaucracy for the right reasons, to make sure that everything is being done in ways that are
judicious and ways that are appropriately open to all student participation. And I appreciate the reasons that it's like that. But there's a big lift involved. And Christine and her colleagues in the class of 2018 were instrumental in laying that. And then I feel like as the next leadership from the class of 2019, our group, it was almost as if they carved the path for us. And then we tried to pave the path a little bit. So it was a little less rocky. And we did a little bit of programming and tried to do a little bit of engagement with some of our alums, especially from just the class prior. And I know that they've been building upon the foundation that Christine and her colleagues laid every year. So Caroline, I just want to echo what Christine said. It's so wonderful to hear about all the great things you're doing. I love it. And I think it's absolutely wonderful to see that you are absolutely executing the vision that we had from the beginning and going beyond it. It's so great.
Well, I think there's just mutual admiration in this group because, you know, none of us could have done this alone. And I feel like every year we build on it and we just get a little bit further to our full vision for what this will continue to be in the future. And so I want to also give a shout out to Emma, who is a 2020 graduate and a new leader as well. And a lot of what we do, you know, this year and hopefully moving forward in new is because, and I say this to our members all the time, like 2020, the ladies of 2020 really took great care of the ladies of 2021. And the least we can do is pay that forward, if not do a little bit more. So each year it's a little bit easier to go through the programming or get new ideas through. So I feel very thankful for this group of very special ladies. And I feel very fortunate to be part of it in a small way. So thank you.
So Christine, I want to pick up on something that you said about executive format students having sort of unique needs in different life stages. And I think we know that to be true from our experience, but how did that shape and inform how you thought about supporting your classmates or what NEW's purpose was?
Yeah, so executive women in the Darden program are experienced in the workforce. So they've got some time professionally under their belt and may be interested in advancing in their careers, moving up in their current organizations or making career changes. And there's a lot of hurdles that they can face in networking, in overcoming existing biases, in building connections that they can leverage, in having people around them that will rally and champion for them, you know, as they make those strides. And further, sometimes women in the executive program have additional priorities outside of school and outside of work. That might be family members, spouses, children. And we wanted to shape an organization that lifts each other, that of women and allies that lift each other up and that are open and accepting and non-judgmental and recognize that we all have lots of different priorities, but nonetheless, we all still want to be successful in our personal and in our professional lives, and that we can reach the goals that we have by supporting one another. And so I think that was very illustrative of the spirit that we went into shaping the new with.
And that is a question we get a lot from prospective students about the culture of the program. I think people are trying to figure out, is this going to be a competitive environment? Is this going to be a supportive environment? I think of new and as a great example of sort of the supportive nature of the environment. Yes. Amanda, how did you and your classmates support each other as you progressed through the 21 months of the program? Everybody's got so much on their plate here. We say it time and again, you can't do this by yourself, but examples are always the best way to tell that story.
Absolutely. And I think that that's a great way to put it. When I had prospectives ask me if I thought Darden was competitive, I said, absolutely. But the biggest competition you're in is with yourself. People in this program are all driven high performers who want to do well. But I never felt that
my success was linked to someone else's success, or that I had to beat other people. And I think that the women in my class were a phenomenal support going through the program. There were so many life changes. My class actually was one where no one had a baby during the class. I know that's not true for Christine's class or the class of 20. And Caroline, I don't know if there are women in your class. Okay, so your class is, but you know, there are people who are going through life changes, moves. One of my good friends from the program moved across the country in the middle of the program to take a new job, which was fantastic. But she said, I'm essentially going to have no home for at least a week because I'm moving from California to South Carolina. And people just rallied around her. You've got your team that you're working with, but then also other women said, let us know what you need. Zoom in, we'll give you notes, we'll help with case prep, we'll do whatever we can. There were people who had hurricanes come through, and this was actually two of the men in my class, but they lived in Texas. And in the fall of 2017, it was when Hurricane Harvey, I think it was, horribly devastated Houston. And two of our classmates lived in Houston. And the class got together and we gave them each Visa gift cards for whatever they may need. And they turned around and donated them and said, there are others in greater need than us. But how wonderful that you all were so concerned about our well-being, and people were reaching out to say, do you need anything? Even from the perspective of people starting businesses, one of the women in my class is the founder of Single Baked Sweets. And if you are not familiar with Single Baked Sweets, a complete plug for Melissa and Single Baked Sweets. They are individual sized sweets that you can bake in the oven. You just need 2 tablespoons of butter and they're so tasty. But Melissa was getting going during this and used a lot of the resources of the Darden program, the Batten Institute. And as she was getting going, she got support for her farm market appearances from other women in the class who would go out and volunteer to help sell her product. People were wearing Single Baked Sweets t-shirts, and she's got this thing going. And it was fun to watch that progression and to be part of her journey too and help support her in that. So I think there are so many examples that wherever you are and whatever you're trying to do, people are going to be there to help support through life changes, business changes, whatever the case may be.
And Caroline, I think about some of the formal things that NEW has been up to. So I think you've already started a mentoring program for the NEW first-year students as they are just getting started. Gosh, they just had their first weekend residency, a time when people are, I'd say, nervous in the program. You're trying to figure out, am I doing this right? Is all this stuff important? Am I reading too much? Not enough? How do I manage decision analysis, global economics? Talk a bit more about some of the formal things and maybe just informal things that NEW is doing now.
Sure. Yes, we are carrying on the legacy that maybe the class of 2020 started of mentorship between the two, you know, the first and second years of the EMBA program. And you're paired up with, ladies are paired up across the two groups. We have a very high level kind of support guide that we send out to the second years as far as like when they should be thinking of reaching out, what they should be talking about, just to kind of spark some ideas. But it's really self-driven. It's something that, you know, I think every person, every woman is different. And so some are very engaged in that partnership. Others check in periodically. But it's nice to know you have kind of an access to the inside scoop, so to speak, and just discuss strategies for success. So that's been great. Another thing we just started, it was I was curious how I was coming across in class, especially with Zoom. It's hard to read the room, like, did anyone understand what I just said, or did that land, or did I really move the topic forward? And so we came up with this idea of pairing up women within the class of 2021 with one another. And at the beginning of every on-ground, I send a survey out and you can comment on how women did when they were contributing, whether they hedged, maybe they were too long-winded, maybe their point was a little bit off topic, maybe they made a great point, but you don't hear from them as much, or you hear from them just enough. It's great, and then areas for improvement kind of feedback. And I aggregate that those results at the end of a weekend and send that feedback to a person's buddy so that they can meet after the weekend and just debrief on trends that women are seeing. It's a very constructive feedback loop. It's not meant in any way to tear someone down. It's really to help build them up and as to what they're trying to communicate in class and how they can improve or keep doing what they're doing. I did not read all the feedback, of course, but I was just really impressed with the amount of thought that went into the feedback. And it's so clear that everyone is committed to one another's success. And so that's a recent development that we just did last on grounds, and we're going to do again this on ground. So always thinking of something.
I'm always learning something on these podcasts. Like I've learned about Christine's LLC. I've learned about this feedback loop that you created. I mean, as you might imagine, for our prospective students, they're always asking about feedback in the program. And certainly we can talk about grades and deliverables and all that kind of stuff. But the peer-to-peer feedback, I'm always struck by, you know, how students maybe seek each other out. Like if someone said something that was really, really enlightening in class or a great comment, that people actually share that feedback in real time. It's great to hear that you have actually created this sort of structured way for people to give some suggestions or feedback about how people's participation is going. Because the case method is nice in that you both learn technical information, but you have a chance to develop these so-called softer skills. I've been thinking a lot about our first-year students as they get started in the program. And we've had some conversations. I know they're feeling stressed around time and managing the program. And I know this is a topic that's top of mind for our listeners too. Christine, I'm wondering a bit about your adjustment to the program, the learning curve maybe that you experienced. Do you have any tips or suggestions for people as they get started, or things they want to keep in mind as they begin their executive MBA program?
Yes, definitely. This is probably when I talk with other alumni, something that we all kind of share, that the first 6 months of the program is a big learning curve. It's you're back in school after not having been in school for a while. As Amanda mentioned earlier, you're around other people who are high achievers, who also want to work hard and do well in school. You're taking on a huge course load while typically also balancing work and in many cases also balancing family. And one thing that's great about Darden, but that can also present a challenge as a student, is that you don't have to come into Darden with a lengthy history in accounting or finance or operations or something like that. And I certainly experienced not having a background in accounting or finance, that those were areas for me that were the biggest learning curve. And I think one thing that I learned over the course of being a student at Darden that I would tell prospective students is, especially in those first 6 months when you come in, you're going to want to do well, you're going to want to do your best, and that's natural. But if you're not going to become an accountant, or you're not going to work in finance, or some other field that maybe you're having a course in, I don't know. I just would say don't stress about it too much. Like, learn from the perspective of you want to understand the big picture, that so that if you're in a leadership role working in some capacity and you're presented with, let's say, accounting information, that you understand the big picture of what you're learning. You're not expected to know all of the nitty gritty. Kind of go in with that mindset, and it might ease your stress level a little bit. The other thing I learned that I would recommend is definitely take advantage of the professional advancement course and working with Darden's coaches.
I worked closely with Connie Dunlap throughout my Darden experience, and her influence was tremendous and helped me gain a lot of clarity around the direction that I wanted to take. Certainly the Career Development Center is useful, and even the professors. Lily Powell had a huge impact on my life and on my career path. And so take the time to use those resources, especially if you're making a career shift, and let those people be there for you and help guide you. And then finally, be sure to take time for yourself and for your family, because it can be wearing, and it can be really wearing for the family. My husband and I always joke that when we graduated that he should have just come on stage to get the diploma with me, because he carried just as much stress as I did. Sometimes it's hard for the family members because they're kind of carrying a lot of weight and holding you up while you're going through the experience. So try to carve out that time to make sure that you're taken care of and that they're taken care of.
If the podcast had a word cloud of things that were most commonly said on the podcast, Connie Dunlap in the professional advancement course would be the largest words, easily. She comes up constantly. That course is now in quarter one, as you may or may not know. It's up front in the program. And it makes a lot of sense if you think about what's happening in that course. It used to be in the middle of the program. Now it's up front because students are really kind of setting a roadmap for what they hope to accomplish, where they see themselves going. Amanda, we don't normally have the cameras on for these podcast conversations, but I could see you enthusiastically nodding when Christine was talking about backgrounds in accounting and finance, and listening to your background as you were sharing it here on the podcast. I know perhaps you didn't have as much exposure to those topics before coming to Darden. So how did you approach learning about things that were brand new to you?
So it was an adventure. I don't know, Christine was kind in saying she didn't have a lot of exposure. I had never taken an accounting course before or a finance course. I'd taken one econ course, but I approached it as, well, it's a chance to learn something new. But I agree wholeheartedly with what Christine said about try to take the big picture approach. I was not trying to become an accountant. I was not trying to transition into finance. So I learned from those classes. And I also figured out who the quote unquote smart kids were in my class about those things, so that when I had questions as I was doing my own work, I could text Steve or Jen, who was also not an accounting person, but discovered that she was really great at accounting during this, and say, okay, here's what I think this means, and check my knowledge with them. And then I offered that back as well in the courses that came more easily to me. I was one of those odd ducks that decision analysis came really easily to me. So in Q1, when we had decision analysis and econ, I was digging into the econ and saying, this is a lot of new stuff to me, but I loved it. And then decision analysis was not as challenging for me. So I was in turn trying to offer my understanding there to help other people. And I think that's one of the things that I would say was great for my class to start early on was, hey, if something's coming a little more easily to you, share that with others and kind of pay it forward, because you'll be leveraging others where things come more easily to you. And one of the big pieces of advice that we got during our first leadership residency was trying to manage your energy, not just your time. So if something is truly draining for you, like finance and accounting were for me, maybe take that into account. And spending another hour on the accounting was not going to be the best use of my time, because it was going to be more exhausting to me. And I carved out one day a week where I didn't do Darden so that I could try to have that time. I carved out Sundays, with the exception of the weekends where we had on-grounds classes. And on Sundays, I didn't do Darden. I didn't do meetings. I didn't do classwork. I didn't do reading. It was just, I could focus wholeheartedly on my boys or myself, go visit family, whatever it may be. But I tried to protect some of that time. So that was just one of the strategies I used to implement the advice that Christine gave that I think is so important. And Caroline, I see you nodding now. I bet you were finding strategies that worked for you, but to accomplish a lot of the same things.
Absolutely. No, now that, you know, we've shifted mostly online, there's some hybrid opportunities recently to go on grounds, but I really protect my weekends. Like I will be on the computer as long as I need to during the week, but on the weekends, unless there's residency, I really do try to unplug, just because so much of our world now is online. I know this is temporary, or, you know, it won't always be like this. But I've really tried to protect the weekend time. And I think there's also what I've learned, like there's a spectrum of, when it comes to the amount of time students put into the program. Like I know some people who get by on skimming the reading and they know why they're here. And in no way is this, there's not one right way to do it. They just have, you know, priorities that they're fitting into their weeks or their days. And they're probably spending closer to 10 or 20 hours a week. I'm on this other end of the spectrum where I know I need to put the time in to understand for myself, you know, how all of this fits together. And I'm probably, you know, well beyond that amount of time. But I say that because I think you can consciously make that choice quarter to quarter. Now that we're focusing a little bit more on the job search, I've felt myself having to shift and say, I need to get the schoolwork done and I need to do it, you know, well, so I understand what's going on when I'm in class. But, you know, I also need to have enough energy to still do the job search stuff. I agree with the sentiment of managing your energy. And I think it shows up differently for different students.
Well, lots of great tips there. The manage your energy one is a very popular one here on the podcast. I think probably because it is brought up early in the program and people do feel like they have a finite amount of time. So how do you adapt to all of that, right? You have so many competing priorities while you're here. So all you can really do is kind of figure out what your non-negotiables are and then figure out what's a sustainable schedule for you. And it's probably going to change from quarter to quarter as your courses change and life continues to happen. So as we wrap up here, we got a few more minutes left in this conversation. I mean, I could stay here for another couple hours, but I do want to sort of keep in mind that this is not, you know, just one podcast episode here. So Christine, the theme of this has been about the network of executive women. Obviously, the target audience for our conversation today are women, considering our executive MBA program. Any tips you might or suggestions you might have for women who are considering Darden's executive MBA program?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, first off, I would just say if it's something you're interested in and you, you know, meet the requirements and it's going to get you to where you want to be in your life, go for it. You will be successful making it through. Darden is not going to let you fail. The professors want you to succeed. They want you to learn. They want to help you reach your goals. Your classmates and the environment that Darden shapes is going to help further that. So if you're leaning towards it, go for it and know that not only are you going to have a tremendous educational experience, but you're going to develop friends that will support you for life. The other thing that I would just say is if you're in that first week or first few months of school feeling like everyone in the room is smarter or more experienced or understands what we're learning more than you do, just know that everybody is thinking the same thing. Every single person in that class is thinking the same thing that you are. That was something that my class learned, I think, in the last week of Darden. We all talked about how we felt the first week and we were like, oh, we were all thinking the same thing. So no, you're not alone. And yeah, go for it. And also just know that the new and your alumni are here to support you too.
Amanda, any tips for women listening to this podcast about Darden's executive MBA program?
I agree with everything Christine said. And one thing that I'll note, I felt I was waiting for the right time to start the program almost. And I've heard from others that I don't know if now is the right time. I'll say that you just have to pick a time and go for it, because there are always going to be things going on in your life, be it family or career or whatever else you've got in your life, because we all already come to Darden with full lives.
So just go for it. And I echo absolutely what Christine said, that Darden wants you to be successful. Your classmates want you to be successful. Your professors want you to be successful. The support is there for you to be successful in this endeavor. And I chuckled to myself a little bit when you said what you said about that first week where you think, oh my gosh, I've made a horrible mistake. Everyone here is smarter than me. My class did the same thing. And we actually sent to the class of 2020 during their first leadership residency, a collection of, here's what I was thinking during my first week. And here's a year later, what I wish I'd known then. And I would say of the 20 responses we got to our survey of what to send to them, 17 or 18 of them were, oh my gosh, I've made a mistake. Everyone here is smarter than me and I don't belong here. So that sentiment is absolutely common. And I talk to the men in my class, it's not just the women, that sort of, oh wow, I don't know if I'm gonna fit. Everyone felt that way. And we all got through it together.
Imposter syndrome is a thing. We've talked about it openly during orientation and you know, during the program. As people are getting started, there is that moment of sort of self-doubt. You look around the room, you take incredibly accomplished people who've had these rich lives and careers. You put them in a room and they're like, I must have been the only person who somehow slipped through the process, got this seat. I don't know why I'm here. But everybody earns their seat here. You're here for a reason. It's really important to know that. Everybody is going to bring something to that classroom conversation, even if you don't have direct experience with the topic. Oftentimes, that's the most interesting perspective, right? Because you're looking at it with fresh eyes. And so everybody has something to contribute. That's a great thing sort of about the egalitarian model that Darden uses for classroom instruction. Everybody can participate. Everybody can contribute. So Caroline, batting cleanup here. Any tips or suggestions you would share for the women listening to this podcast?
I'm going to take a line out of Emma's book. Emma, the new president from the class of 2020, she was at an event and the room just went silent when she said this. This is a really big decision to get your MBA. Hopefully, you know, you find Darden to be the best fit. But she mentioned, she put it in a way of women seem to be more hesitant to invest in themselves than to invest in others. And I would, whenever I talk to prospective students, I always try to fit that into the conversation because I feel like women, I mean, we are the biggest supporters of so many other people in our lives, but when it comes to ourselves, we can sometimes push ourselves to the back burner and just say, oh, now's not a good time, or I don't need to do this right now, or maybe it's not a fit for me, but it is for him or this other person. And I think if you decide to get your EMBA and you've gone through all the great thorough thinking that you're definitely going to have to do to make such a big decision, I'm not saying to take it lightly, but just take the leap and invest in yourself. And I know that's a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of resources going into the program. But I think, you know, that extra push, I hope I can just send that message out there. And if it means something to you, that you take me up on it.
Well, Christine, Amanda, Caroline, I want to thank you so much for your time today and for all of your advice. We covered so much ground here on this podcast episode. Anyone listening to this episode, there's so much to learn from all of you and your experience. And if someone's interested in learning more about the Network of Executive Women, Caroline, I'm going to give you an opportunity to plug the student organization here. How do people learn more about NEW?
Absolutely. We are all over the admissions process as far as expressing your interests. We'll reach right back out to you as soon as you let us know you're interested. We also have a LinkedIn group. You have to request access to become a member, but we're happy to have you there as well. So look forward to hearing from prospective students and those in the network.
And for those of you who are active podcast listeners, you've at least found one of our podcast episodes. Stay tuned. Caroline and one of her classmates, Anura, will be back on the podcast in the coming weeks to talk more about the Network of Executive Women. So at least here on the podcast, we're all new all the time. So thank you all for your time. And I hope you stay safe and be well. And thank you again.
Thank you too, Brett.
Thank you, Brett.
And that was my interview with Caroline Clark, Amanda Richardson, and Christine Campbell, three presidents of our Network of Executive Women. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA, at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.